Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is everything you need to build an exceptional website. Go to squarespace.com/cage, start a free trial, use the offer code BOMB when you decide to purchase, and you get an extra 10% discount. That's squarespace.com/cage, offer code BOMB. Just a heads up, our live shows in New York, December 6th at 8:30 and 10:30. Here are the movies: Anaconda at 8:30, at 10:30, it's Devil's Advocate. And come check me out December 10th at Largo for my Christmas show. Get them at Largo LA. Now, on to the show. Vampire stereotypes, ripping heads, and CGI babies. We saw Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made, a very special Twilight edition. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas.
What's happening?
Unfortunately, June is not here today because she is shooting Burning Love, and she could not get out of that, but you can watch that in January, and it'll be all worth it.
But we will have to try and make up for her loss by espousing ardent feminist beliefs and believing the best of Bella.
I know, and that's the thing that I'm really bummed out about. On the way over here, I was bummed out about it. But we did bring back, as promised, Doug Benson. Welcome, Doug.
Hey, everybody.
To talk about this movie, and before we started recording, we agreed before we started talking about this movie, if you have not seen it, if you have any intention of seeing it, stop this right now, hold it on your iPod, see it, and then listen to us talk about it, because we are going to spoil it.
We're going to spoil everything.
Even if you're going to see it like as a joke, if you're going to go and laugh at it, because that's what I kind of went for, and I was pleasantly surprised plot twists that were actually interesting to me.
I would also say, go back. I kind of did too. This is
crazy but fun.
This is again. I cried at a movie that we are doing.
No,
a moment I teared up at. Moment I teared up at.
Oh my gosh!
Well, tell us when we get to.
I will.
I didn't find it tear upable.
There was a moment where I was like, "Wait, what? Oh God!" I will say you should also go back and listen to our Twilight Breaking on Part 1 podcast that also featured Doug on it, so that you really get the full scope of Twilight Breaking Dawn.
We have broken down these 4 hours.
We have broken down Breaking Dawn.
So, yeah, let's just start off by basically saying, I like this. Out of every Twilight movie I've seen, which is only, I think, 3 of them, I like this one.
Numero uno.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to go back and pick up the pieces that I've missed.
See, you are wrong.
They'll be bad. Bad, but it's
Do you not remember part one in like Bahamas Fuckfest?
I do remember.
Bahamas? Oh, part one of Breaking
Part God, one yeah. of, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wherever they were, where they were just like, it was just about like hanging out in a vacation house and playing chess.
Come on. Look, there's a lot of moments. The slow times.
I was happy to see that their love of chess. Vampires love chess, apparently, because they play chess. This time, people are playing chess while other people are sitting around just watching them
and
play
guys,
chess.
Guys, did you notice that the final battle looks like a chessboard?
Yes, on white.
Guys!
And
I didn't even notice that!
Vampires love a game
I was
of
too
patience.
Busy going, this is an awesome battle scene.
Yeah, the battle scene
like,
was amazing.
If in the first movie they had said 5 movies later there's going to be an awesome battle scene that you'll appreciate even more if you sit through the first 4 hours, I might have been more enthusiastic about the first
Are you kidding? Those movies are terrible. Yeah, the first half of this movie is literally garbage.
Oh, I enjoyed a lot
it's
of
it's really fun it's, garbage.
I laughed out loud so much in the second half of this movie, but basically it's still, I mean, we're jumping into it, so we can say,
let's just go.
Yeah, we'll just go.
Spoilers.
There's a lots baby. Lots of spoilers.
Okay, this fucking
and ripped
baby.
Off heads.
This baby in this movie is like a CGI baby. I don't understand why. I thought it was like the E-Trade baby.
I think I figured out why.
Okay.
Okay, because I was flummoxed. I was like, why is the baby CGI?
I mean, at every level, even as a newborn.
A baby, a newborn to toddler to it finally becomes a real baby when she settles in at about 7 years old.
Yes.
Right? Okay, what I think they did was they CGI'd.
It's finally a real baby when she's CGI'd, seven.
Yes, exactly. It's a real actress. They CGI'd her to look like that child actress. So they CGI'd the baby and the toddler baby
yes.
to look like that little girl.
Well, now you see, I had
which
that.
Which is bananas.
Because I had that thought and I thought, do they have an actual baby on set and they put like a little green bag over a baby's head?
I think they did.
Because they really had
They could have
yes.
just held. I mean, the whole thing could be fake.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
You think
no.
that there's a
did
real
they have
no,
real
no, no,
wolves
no.
on the set?
Because I looked at it. Rob Pattinson is holding a baby. He's clearly holding a baby.
He's clearly got a baby's yes. genitals in his
hands. He does. In that scene where he walks in, he introduces the baby to Not Quite Tom Skerritt.
Yes.
And he says, hey, Not Quite Tom Skerritt, here is our baby. And he's clearly holding a baby. I was like, that's definitely a baby he's holding, except that the face is CGI, which is creepy.
I'll tell you why it's CGI, though.
Okay. Oh,
because the baby, like, they can't get that kind of acting out of a baby. The baby
wasn't doing anything.
The baby wasn't doing anything. Seriously, the baby's like very intently staring at whatever person it's dealing with.
Okay.
And then that weird thing it does, and yep. then she keeps doing it. We should say that we end the movie sound crazy already.
Yeah.
When you're a half vampire, half human baby,
yes.
apparently you totally fucking Benjamin Button.
Yes.
And
it was
you age really quick.
Yes. Here's another, just talking about CGI, I watched some stuff online last night. This movie
porno?
Yes.
Was it porn?
A lot of porno. I watched the Be Real footage of this movie like on the Twilight page.
Wait, the Be Real?
What is it called? Be Real?
B-roll?
Right? B-roll, sorry.
Be Real isn't Be Real and act a rapper.
Yeah, Be Real from Cypress Hill narrating clips from Twilight.
So I watched B-roll footage of Twilight. Now this movie is arguably
Insane in the membrane.
Yeah, this movie is arguably one of the most successful films. Makes so much money. The CGI looks so
it's garbage.
It's, yeah, it's not good. It's clearly rush job.
I believe they are like, it does not matter. These kids will come.
The director
it
is not
great.
David but, Fincher,
yes.
who is all about making
yes,
it look
authenticity
amazing.
And seamlessness.
But then I started to realize on the B-roll footage that everything is CGI.
Yep.
Like when they're in the house. That's
snow.
Not a real house. It's yeah. The snow is yep. CGI. Everything.
Yeah, they
that you
just
even
stood around on green screens.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Everything is
between 3 and 14 people standing in front of green screen is what this entire movie is.
If you look at this B-roll footage, you'll be like, "This is the most unimpressive, sad thing." It looks like a community theater production because the costumes look way worse in front of a green screen. Everybody looks worse. We should start a little bit from the top.
Do we need to recap?
We don't need
like,
to recap.
Plot-wise?
I just want to talk about moments.
There's so many little amazing moments in the beginning.
Oh,
like,
my God.
First of all, just the fact that they have to stand around saying Renesmee over and over again. That's the kid's name.
I could not. I kept trying to make a note of the kid's name. And I was like, what are they saying?
I'll never be able to say Renesmee, I thought. Because it's a hard name to remember. Why was it even named Renesmee?
Why was it even named
Because
Renesmee?
It is an it because it has half human, half vampire, not real.
Because there's someone, because I saw this in the end credits,
okay.
which are awesome end credits.
Yes,
oh my God.
End credits.
It's they like just
the opening titles of a soap opera.
Yes.
It's slow motion shots of each character.
Exactly.
All the way back to the first
like,
movie.
Like a telenovela.
People that had two
yeah.
lines.
Yes.
A girl that never had a line was
yes.
only in the last movie is
it's
featured
great.
In that part.
You see the whole scene.
It's like in memoriam. I was wishing the audience that I saw was in the same theater with Paul, but we sat away from each other
yes.
so we're not like
by the way
two guys
dudes,
going to see this together with no
three
women
three dudes all sitting by themselves at Twilight screenings on opening weekend super creepy
yeah.
I had a notepad in front of me
yep.
too like a scribbling
yeah notes. I'm scribbling down notes on a piece of paper.
I tried to get into the theater and it had already started but at the Arclight they were like well we don't really let people in. I was like well I'm reviewing it for a podcast and I so
and they
I, like,
said okay
then they let me in but I was like this is hilarious like I am now being like I am the single man trying to see a noon showing of Twilight Breaking Dawn and have to explain myself.
Oh my God.
That one we were at last night, yeah. There was there was no young teenage girls to speak of.
No, but there was a lot of
you
like,
sound disappointed.
Where were the teenage girls I was promised?
There were a lot of women. There were a lot of women.
To this?
I feel like that the Sunday night screening was a lot more of like 30-year-old women.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of... Are you doing the ribbing each other the whole time?
Oh,
because there were some good laughs in there.
Yeah. Yes, there were some good laughs.
I think I got a laugh because I laughed so hard at one point.
I laughed so hard at the end. The one thing I want to point out in the beginning is, you know, obviously Bella, when we last left her, was turned into a vampire. So now we're seeing her and she looks beautiful and, you know, she's right there and, you know, she's like, has this power, super hugs. She can give really strong hugs.
Did you get in time? I missed strong hugs. Yeah. So she goes to hug Robert Pattinson and it does that whoomp noise they do whenever they move around fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does the whoomp noise and then he's like, oh, you're stronger than me now, Bella, please let go.
It's awesome, by the way,
Bella is finally, you know, in control. Like, it's terrible that June isn't here.
I love that impression because it's basically Edward as Droopy Dog.
Please don't hug me.
You're so strong, Bella.
We can't let you hold Renesmee.
But I do.
You'll squeeze her to death.
I just love that that's how her first moment of power is just power hugs.
When she tries to sit in the chair, they're like, why don't you just go sit in the chair? And she like, she speeds over and knocks the chair down. And it's like,
boom. Does everyone in this movie, these vampires are running.
But they slowly walk across the snow.
By the way.
They have to take airplane flights and they have to drive in cars.
Like they could have made, they could have done so much. If they just ran to Brazil, ran to Alaska, they drive and fly everywhere that they simply don't need to.
They can go so quickly. And also my big issue is, why are they needing, like, Edward is wearing, like, at one point, like, a winter jacket and, like, a turtleneck. I was like,
yeah, they always have tons of clothes on.
Why do you have to wear all these clothes?
Yeah.
They try to imply that Alice is a real, you know, fashionista,
I buy it for her,
clothes horse. Yeah, but they, like, push it on everybody because they're all quite fashionable.
Edward's wearing, like, is wearing a pea coat and a turtleneck.
They always look natty.
They are fantastically dressed. I'll be honest, like, I would take the entire wardrobe from the Alistair character. The guy that stands up in the tree.
Yes,
like the guy who's like, you guys are fucked, basically.
Yes.
Who then disappears and never comes back.
Yeah, Alistair.
I thought he was
going to
Han Solo that.
Nope, no.
I thought he was going to, like, he leaves, like, you guys are fucked, he walks away, and I full-blown expected he was going to arrive Han Solo and save the day. Nope, never heard from him again.
That's the good thing about this movie. People are disposable.
But they don't need a Han Solo.
Yeah.
They don't.
With the plot twist that occurs.
Oh, I love this plot twist. We'll get to it. The other thing I wanted to talk about at the beginning, which you may have missed, Jason, too, was literally her, I said literally, I already broke it. Basically, Bella and Edward.
I've said literally already five times.
Oh, good. Bella and Edward, like, are hugging, and she's like, oh, you know, you're a vampire, we're vampires. And he goes, oh, well, now we gotta get your thirst under control. And it's as if on cue, she touches her throat, and she's like, oh, yeah.
That reminds me. Yeah, I am thirsty for blood.
It was crazy. Like,
I was thirsty for hugs, and now I've quickly transitioned into thirsty for blood. And so she goes running. She goes running out. She goes running out into the forest, right?
Yes. And she
him in her stead, he comes with her.
And now I don't understand why they need to, like, stalk animals. They're fucking super fast. Just fucking speed over, kill a deer. But they're like hunting like hunters on a Discovery Channel show. Like, they're like creeping around rocks and looking at the deer. It's like, come on, man, just fucking power through it.
I firmly believe that if they did everything in this movie as fast as they are capable of doing things, the movie would be 40 minutes long.
It'd be so over.
Instantaneously over because there's so much slow walking across
the snowy field.
Totally. There is
a scene
where she drives to Seattle to meet Bunk
the
from
Wire.
The Wire.
To meet
so
Bunk
psyched.
From The Wire. That is, there's nothing that happens in this scene. She has to drive, walk, sit, drive again. Like, they're making a meal out of the littlest things just to pad this movie.
And it's so funny, though, when Bunk, he has that one scene, and then when he shows up in the end titles, it's the weirdest, like, oh, there's one black guy in the entire Twilight series, and he had one scene in the last movie.
Don't forget about the two African tribesmen, the vampires.
The tribal girls.
Oh, okay.
The tribal girls in, like, crazy African or Amazonian garb. The wardrobing for all, it's basically United Colors of Benetton as a Twilight movie. It's like every minority is represented. Every country and culture is represented.
In the most stereotypical fashion.
Yes, in the most stereotypical garb for whatever country they're from. Like when they are Amazonian princesses show up, they are in crazy fucking native garb.
Native American. Loincloth fucking classic style.
He does the Han Solo at the end.
Oh, he does do it, yeah.
Yeah. He's in the most, he's wearing nothing.
It's
and
ridiculous.
He's walking across the snow.
Yes! Why? What the fuck is happening?
Why can't they all just wear nothing? Or shorts and t-shirts?
They just love wearing pants and jackets.
Oh, my God.
Talking about pants and jackets and things that are useless.
Kellan Lutz.
Who is Kellan Lutz? I know that people talk about him. Who is he playing?
He's the big, bulky guy.
That's him with dark hair?
Yes, that's Kellan Lutz.
Yeah, there's that commercial.
He looks so different.
There's that commercial where they're trying to outdo each other, two guys, and they keep getting things for this girl to get her, to impress her, and the one guy gets her Kellan Lutz, and then he moves in on it, and that's the gag at the end of the commercial is Kellan Lutz is going to score with his lady now, and and every time I saw that commercial, I was like, oh, he must be like some athlete or something. Yeah.
Twilight.
He's in the Twilight movies. Yep. I had no idea.
Yeah.
He's Emmett.
Hi, I'm Emmett. And why does he have to have Bella now that she's a vampire, is super crazy strong and can beat him.
Oh, yeah.
Can beat Emmett in arm wrestling on a rock, and then she smashes the rock.
That's what I was going to ask. Was there something
why does he
in the
have to have big muscles?
Was there something in the beginning that I missed, which is why she is so much instantly stronger than everybody?
You know what?
Because she's new.
So she still has like all the height
of her power.
Is that
why she and Edward have like a bone zone?
Okay,
like,
let's talk about
sex
this
marriage. Marathon?
They have this sex marathon that she says, you know, they finally are both able to really
have sex. Yeah.
It is the most slow-paced, like, sex scene that you will ever see.
Yeah, it's not two people that are capable of tearing each other limb from limb. It's just tender.
They rip each other's shirts, but then it is tender love.
He rips her shirt in the back. He rips her shirt in the back.
Yeah,
because that's what dudes do. I can't wait to get to that back.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get my hands on her naked back.
I want to see her. I want to rip her clothes open for a part of her body that I cannot see.
He can't see. He couldn't see it even if there was a mirror in the room.
Exactly.
Which she couldn't use.
It doesn't matter. Mirrors
are there any
irrelevant.
Mirrors in the house?
No.
Why would there be? They're vampires.
The fuck house?
Why have couches and beds?
Let's even go back a second.
They don't have to sleep or sit down.
Well, that's what she says. Why do we need
He goes, it's not for
sleeping.
It's for fucking while our baby's in the other room.
Exactly. And basically, they go on, like, they basically talk about how vampires will fuck for days, even decades.
Yeah.
They will just fuck. And then she's like, I knew you were holding back. It's like, really? It looked like it was slow and steady.
What I thought was really fascinating about, I felt like in order to have their crazy sex scene, they had to, and again, Bella is like 18 years old.
Sure.
You know, Bella is in this narrative, like an 18-year-old person.
19-ish, yeah.
She turned 18 in the last movie, so this is now 19 because you had
a birthday. They have to constantly show, like, every fifth shot in the sex scene is of them and their wedding rings.
Ah.
Is their hands intertwined with their wedding rings. So they're constantly, while they're showing you sex, they're saying, but it's marriage. It's marriage. Like, there's such a weird, you know, like, the books are super Mormon and Christian.
By the way, did you know that the first public sighting of Mitt Romney was at the Twilight screening this weekend?
Really?
Yeah, someone caught
Why would he go see that? Where would they go see
In that? L.A. He was in L.A. seeing Twilight.
What?
It was on TMZ.
That would be the best celebrity sighting ever.
Mitt Romney at the
Twilight. No Secret Service anymore.
None.
Sorry, we don't have to go sit through your shitty taste in movies.
That's what he wants to see. He's been He could have seen Argo. He could have seen Skyfall. He saw Twilight.
Maybe he heard how wholesome it was, but that's what's amazing to me is that it got the PG-13, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So the sex scene is like, there's no nudity.
And there's no blood.
And you see in talk shows, Kristen Stewart and what's his name?
Our Pats,
they complain about, like, you know, we would have gone for it, but it's got to be PG-13, so you got to position everything just right. They have those kind of talks on TV.
A hardcore fuck movie, those
yeah,
two.
But it's amazing that they go to all that trouble to get the PG-13 on that front, but then on the violence front, you can have a gazillion decapitations.
You can have this movie, the violence
upwards
in this movie
of 15
are
people's like, heads get ripped off.
Maybe what? Mitt Romney heard that part of it. Maybe he heard how violent it was, because I was digging how violent it is.
I was laughing because I felt so joyous. It's like, I haven't seen a movie this violent in forever. It's
it was
so callous.
Crazy violent.
But but they're all monsters.
Yes.
Yes.
They're all not people.
They were people.
Except for when they kill people.
Yeah.
Except for when they kill people. And you're like, these are our, like, Lee Pace is introduced as like one of the good guys.
Yeah.
He is introduced while he is killing a human.
Yeah. Just like, he's just killing a dude like, for whistling a British song.
Exactly. Yeah. He's just like, I hated the British invasion. Roar! Like, and then they're like, hey, you got to come help us with this, with these other bad vampires. And he's like, I will help you, but first let me finish my meal. And then he eats that fucking guy.
Can I just, I want to go
and
back.
He's a good guy.
Good guy. He's a, hey, look, he's a vampire. He doesn't have his thirst under control. Here's the one thing I do want to talk about. Where Bella and Edward are waiting at their house.
Oh, God.
And then all of a sudden, all the vampires come walking in, and they go, oh, finally. And now, am I to believe that these vampires built them a fuck house? Like, I mean, they built them a house.
They have a house that they immediately, as soon as they get the house, that's full of, the closet is full of clothes.
Yes.
That's for the teenage girl.
Yeah, shelves are clothes books. Born. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait,
the books, though, the books pay off.
The books do pay off.
The books pay off.
But, I mean, but they built that house? I mean, I don't understand. Like, they built that
we
house.
We got you a house out here in the woods that looks beautiful and it's right near where everybody else lives.
And then, but now here's the thing that I was most confused about. They go there. They have their fuck session. They come back the next day and they go, okay, so we're leaving
town.
Yeah,
we got to get out of town.
Wait, why did they build that house then? Yeah. They basically why built was everyone it so excited for a one-night stand.
Yeah, just give them one of the rooms in the house you already have.
And now,
give
but
them
then,
a hotel room.
So now, but that's what's one of the crazy things about this movie is then they're like, okay, so we got to get out of town because we have to tell everybody that Bella's dead.
Yeah.
And then Jacob is just like, all right, leaves the house, goes to not quite Tom Skerritt, and is like, hey, Bella's still alive, blah, blah, blah. There's a daughter.
Oh, wait a second.
Blah, blah, blah.
Wait, this is the best scene in the whole movie. This is the best scene in the whole movie.
It happened so early on. It's like, so nuts.
Okay, so
early.
Taylor
First
Lautner.
Of all, just so you know, this is just before we get into it, the last time we saw Taylor Lautner's character, he imprinted with Renesmee, and which basically means that he has to be with her 24/7. He's like a bodyguard.
Yeah, he basically, like, the baby like belongs to him in some weird
so
way.
So he is now in this weird
Why
three-way.
Aren't all the other wolves in the movie, why don't they have some child that they're near all the time or person that
I
they're
guess
near
they
all the time?
They may have imprinted
you
on another
You can imprint
wolf.
And then part-time imprint or...
I think that he just imprinted with the wrong person. He should have imprinted with a wolf.
With an animal. Yes. He accidentally imprinted with a baby.
But I don't want to distract us from this amazing
It's
scene.
Really good.
So in order to not have Bella have to leave.
Yes.
This is such a bitch move that he pulls.
Oh, yes. Taylor Lautner.
I hate his character.
Oh, my God. He's the worst. Taylor Lautner rides his... He is literally the worst. Ugh. He is a pile of garbage in this movie.
Yeah, yes. Every step of the way, he's always saying something snotty or smirky or bitchy or...
Vampire.
What are we doing? We're sitting around telling battle stories?
Yeah.
I was like, you've never been in battle, you dumb dildo. Like, what are you talking
but
about?
But how great was it when Bella just beat the shit out of him?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
But I found him
kind of wolf
out.
He's like, they treat him like he's the comedic voice of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all
like,
the funny
quips. Hilarious.
And it's just like, shut up. You don't even belong here. Like, okay, say this part because I got more, more right. later than
so. Yeah. He's like, because they're going to tell not Tom Skerritt that Bella is dead.
Bella's dead.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to say Bella's dead because not Tom Skerritt knew that she was sick from breaking down part one.
He doesn't understand what, like, she's.
He doesn't know anything about vampires. Yes. He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know shit.
He doesn't know
he
jack
doesn't even
shit.
Know that she was pregnant.
Right.
And Jacob's like,
Jacob's like,
doesn't want her to leave town.
Right. Yes. So Jacob goes to her,
the baby.
Go, goes to Tom Skerritt and says, listen, Bella's fine, but she had to change in order to be fine. And not, Tom Skerritt's like, I don't know what you mean. And he's like, you don't understand the world you're living in. At which point, Jacob starts to disrobe.
I wrote down that exact sentence, you don't understand the world you're living in, because I lost my mind in the theater when he said that laughing.
I did too.
It was amazing.
Because he's taking his clothes off then while he's saying it.
Slowly takes off his shirt. Everyone in the theater goes nuts because you got to see those abs.
Oh, God.
And he's like, and then at first, not Tom Skerritt's like, whoa, hey, what's happening like here, man?
The only assumption is that something gay is happening. Like, the only way not Tom Skerritt can process this series of events is, oh, Jacob, who I've known since he was a boy, is about to try and have sex with me.
He's about to
rape. Why is this happening?
But wait a second, I have to say that Jacob did not do a good job of like saying, hey, I'm not going to rape you now, Tom Skerritt. He kind of was seductive and taking off his clothes.
Yeah, he's like, I got something for you, buddy, that you are going to really like.
And then he pulls down his pants and like,
here's the thing, he turns into a wolf when he's wearing pants all the time.
Yes.
Why does he have to get completely naked this time?
The one time. The rest of the movie, whenever he switches, clothes are gone instantly.
And meanwhile,
and this time he pulls the pants down to his ankles.
Yes.
And it's not a wolf with pants around his ankles when he turns into the wolf. It's a wolf. Yeah, he's no pants.
He's still going to rip those pants. I'm going to say that not Tom Skerritt. At first, he's like, oh, come on.
Billy Burke is
Yeah, Billy Burke. He's like, come on, man. Come on, man.
He'll always be not Tom Skerritt to
he's
me.
He's like, come on, man. What are you doing? And then, like, he stops protesting a little bit, and he's like, all right, what do you got?
Where's
like,
this going?
Like, he's like, all right, I'm in. Like, wait a second. Like, he stopped protesting pretty early on when the pants came down. He's like, all right, well, I'm in for this.
And then Jacob turns into a wolf in front of him, and he is, to say, not really that impressed. Like, not he's
scared. He's down on the ground. But then they cut immediately
to
Jacob back with Bella and Edward going, yeah, I just told him you were different now.
Yeah, and he's coming
over.
That's the
explanation.
And he'll be here in 10 minutes.
She disappeared for a while. She, you know,
and by the
may
way,
or may not have had a baby.
And by the way, what was his plan? His plan was, she's different. She's not like me. I'm a werewolf, but she's different.
She's another thing. That you don't have to worry yourself about.
Yeah.
Don't be concerned at all for another waking moment of your
about
goddamn
your 18-year-old
life.
Daughter.
About your 18-year-old daughter who just married a pale weirdo and like vanished for a little while and you thought she might be dead. And when the guy, and when Jacob shows up, he's like, oh no, this is it. He's come to tell me that he's dead. And then he starts taking his pants off without having told him what's going on with his daughter.
But then he turns into a wolf.
Yes.
Wait, guys. He then, okay. The
and
minute
he's the sheriff, right?
The minute Tom Skerritt is like, not Tom Skerritt is like, okay, my daughter's okay. Everything should be trumped by the fact that kid just turned into a wolf.
I want to go
at that point. Your world is destroyed. What are you talking about? He turns into a wolf.
He goes on
the
a
rest
fishing
of the movie.
Trip.
He's like, there's something up with all these other people.
Yeah, he's not overly concerned because I feel like there was a scene cut out where like he turned into
there
a wolf.
Had to
they
be.
Have that thing, and then they Taylor Lautner and him have coffee. And he's like, what the fuck?
Because they. So later on in the movie, when the daughter's rapidly aging, they bring her over to visit, and he doesn't even say the typical thing that a grandfather would say, like, oh, you're growing so fast, or anything. He's just like, well, looks like she aged a few years in a couple of days.
He's like, and then
he doesn't even comment on it. There's gotta be missing scenes.
You know what it is? It's all covered. I think it's all covered by Bella saying, there are things
you don't need to know.
But I'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
So he kind of has a couple of lines.
I
guess I don't need to know about this. Why the girl's eyes look like Bella's eyes.
And why it's a crazy special effects baby.
I feel like Billy Bush should just turn to the camera and just go, all right.
He kind of does.
Oh, Billy Burke.
His character
I would like it if
does.
It was Billy Bush.
Oh, by the way, I do want to say that I think he's just a bad father in general.
Oh,
because,
boy.
Because at one
taking
point.
Taking him to task.
They take him to task because they go, your father's worried about you. He's been calling twice a day.
Yeah.
If your daughter was missing for arguably like over 2 weeks, like, and you're the sheriff of the town, just two phone. Well,
just
call those weirdos
over.
Again.
How about drive there?
No, I'm gonna give him a call in the morning, a call at night. Just check
it. I find
I find it so strange.
He's the sheriff of the town, and his daughter's missing. He just makes a couple calls.
Just not even a couple.
To his cell phone.
Two a day. I find it so strange to me
that he so easily allows for her to not just be taken away from him.
She's 18.
But like she is legitimately subsumed into this family, and he is cut out. The lessons of this movie are so bizarre and anti-family, while being so pro-family about like the Cullens and the vampire family.
Yeah.
But it is about the destruction of the nuclear family, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy how much Bella's mother and father are marginalized so she can be robbed of her human soul and turned into an immortal monster by the people that were supposed to be like, that's a real family.
By the way, she doesn't have any care to tell her mom that she's changed either. I know her mom's in a different spot.
Wait, was her mom in this movie at all?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
She doesn't even mention.
She's
like,
in the
end
credits.
She's in the end credits.
That's why I asked. I was like, was there a scene early on with the mom?
No.
Not Tom Skerritt's. You know, he's shacked up with.
The Native American lady.
Who's not a wolf? Is she a wolf or not a wolf?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, is not Tom Skerritt with not a wolf?
I think women are not wolves in this world, right?
I can't believe not Tom Skerritt's girlfriend didn't tell him about the wolf thing.
Well, no, but I don't think that she knows.
But she'd at least know that,
she knows that
there's wolves
half
in the
of
neighborhood.
Her, she must know that her other
maybe
tribesmen
that's it.
Are
maybe
wolves.
Maybe she just explained it to him, like, he's a wolf.
Hey,
and don't worry about what Belle is. She looks fine.
She's probably a vampire.
She gives nice, strong hugs now.
Tom Skerritt is never told she's a vampire.
No.
Never.
No, she's just something different.
And also, they do a terrible job of storytelling in this movie because Bella at one point is like, if he knows, then the Volturi will come for him. And I was like, ooh, I bet that's going to happen. Yeah. Nope.
Well,
Volturi never come for
Charlie. Well, you know why? Because they sent him on a 5-day fishing trip. They can't come.
Oh, right.
They can't figure it out. They can't figure out that he's on this 5-day fishing trip. Hey, get out of town when all the vampires come here to go crazy. All right.
It's so this movie, we're making it sound even crazier because we're jumping around so much.
No, yeah. It is this crazy.
It is this crazy. But we're switching the order around.
We are
That's
moving.
Fine. I don't mind.
Can we talk about Game of Thrones, the Game of Thrones baby? That whole sequence where
Yes.
So Bella has this baby and the Volturi think that the
baby. Okay, the Volturi are the bad guys. They're
Marching. Yeah, and it's called Volturi. And
Voltroni, B-rolls.
They think that this baby is immortal.
An immortal child.
Yeah. They just assume that he turned Bella first and then had the child. Even though this guy Arrow can sit around and know everything that's happening with everybody's mind all over the world, he still has these misconceptions.
Yeah. By the way, which can be cleared up with a phone call or a hand touch or anything.
I heard you guys, do you guys have an immortal child over there? Nope, we don't. Okay, cool.
Great. I was going to kind of round up all the vampires and come and tell you. Okay, we'll do that. All right.
Okay, but the explanation of an immortal child is just a toddler that has turned into a vampire, and because the toddler has no
It's just a toddler. It's just hungry
no
for
sense
blood.
Of anything.
Yeah.
They are just killing machines.
Which basically blows out of the water the whole Kristen Dunst in Interview with a Vampire thing. Because remember, you know, she was so young and lovely and she was a vampire, but they're saying the kids can't handle it in this
movie. Yeah, and so
you know,
they have to.
She won an Academy Award for that.
No, she didn't.
Didn't she?
And then, she might have been nominated. But
I
then,
think she was nominated for an Academy Award for that role.
Because they never say, you never see Academy Award winner Kristen Dunst.
Yeah, that's true.
But then when this happens with the child.
Did you see it for Anna Paquin though? She won.
Yeah, for the piano. Yeah, if you saw her in a movie, like when
they say
Fly Away Home came out, they probably said Academy Award winner.
They take it away from you after you turn 20. If you get it when you're a kid,
that's
it doesn't
true.
Count anymore.
Yeah, it reboots.
You kind of fell into it.
Sorry, Doug, go ahead.
That's okay. I don't know what I was talking
about. We're talking about the Game of Thrones, the baby.
Oh, yeah. When a baby is terrorizing its village, which that's a crazy awesome concept to me.
I love that.
That the baby could terrorize the village, then they just have to destroy vampire babies.
One of the only scenes that has blood in this movie is actually really effective, which is like a shot that cranes down on just fire and like bodies in its medieval village.
All the bodies this baby has killed.
And then a baby, like a child. Like a 2-year-old comes into frame, like a little blonde boy with big eyes and
blood
around his mouth. And I was like, ooh, that's great.
Yeah, and then they kill his mother.
Yep.
And then they kill him.
And they kill
him. They set him on fire. But also,
by the way,
he's killed all these people, but during the whole scene where they're arguing about what to do with him, he's just being held by somebody in their arms.
By Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning. And he's like just sitting there, not doing anything. Like they're talking about killing him.
Because he's not aware.
He doesn't get it.
That's the whole problem with the baby. They just want blood.
Oh, he's probably full.
Yeah, he's full.
He's probably full at that moment. Because he's not even.
He's not going to attack the vampires. He's not going to feed on vampires.
Well, that's true.
They have no blood.
You'd think he'd still be physically out of control and not easy to just stand around and hold while debating his future.
When Bella smelt that hiker who was hiking up the mountain, which you did not see, Jason, she went from going to attack a deer to running across the woods, running up a mountain and almost killing this hiker. And then she decides, all right, I'm not going to
kill. In the movie, when that chasm is suddenly created and the wolves and the vampires are falling into it, they've set up that these are characters that can leap and climb and fly.
Yes.
And yet, oh no, we're falling into a hole. Yep. We're falling into this chasm.
We can't get out of this.
I mean, when the rocks fell down on top, that was like, okay, that could kill them. Sure.
That's why, I mean, Jacob at least was able to claw onto the side a little bit.
I also didn't understand why in previous movies, it's, you know, everybody's a vampire or everybody's a werewolf, and then Ashley Green, what's her name? Alice?
Yeah.
Alice has,
they all have to have an extra power.
But now,
being immortal and fast and strong,
in this movie, they are all superheroes.
They all have.
There's a girl who has electricity out of her hands. There's a guy that has black fog.
It's like Stephanie Meyer saw X-Men.
Yes, that's exactly
right
what
before
it is.
Writing this last part.
It is totally pale X-Men.
That's exactly what it is. I could not. I was like, why do they all have superpowers now?
Oh, I mean. And some of the superpowers, I almost want to jump to the end because we're talking about superpowers. Bella's superpower at the very, very end is scrapbooking.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, she can touch her hand and do a little scrapbook.
Mental scrapbooking. Mental montaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I love that that's her power, a mental montage.
And he goes, how did you do that? And she goes, practice.
Yeah.
What?
I just took clips from each of the films.
She's like, it's mostly Final Cut Pro.
But I'm glad to know that in the scene with the baby, the toddler, I'm glad to know that you can tear the head off of a toddler and set him on fire and still get a PG-13.
Right?
Nice work, Motion Picture Association.
By the way,
a baby's head is ripped off
of the baby.
This movie is PG-13. There is...
And they throw him onto the pile of bodies of people that he killed.
Sex scene. There is a shot where Bella is clearly orgasming in this movie.
Yes.
Where she is orgasming. And then, not 10 minutes later, a baby's head is ripped off of its body. PG-13.
Yeah, I have a problem with the second part much more than the first part.
The decapitation... I don't know if that was set up in the other movies, but holy shit, they go to that well a million times. So much so that at one point, when they're having one of their final fights, I won't talk about it too much, but it's like they're really trying to pull that head off, like, this is a tough one.
Exactly.
This is a tough head to get off.
Yeah.
Some heads are easier than others to get off.
Oh, some just pop right off, but some you really have to work at.
Some are there was literally, Bella's on one guy's head, and Jacob's like kicking him in the stomach, like, let's get this head loose, let's get it loose.
It is, there are so many, and there's also, it's not just decapitations. They rip, two guys rip the arms off.
Arms
and then
get ripped
one
off.
One person rips the head off, and then they light you on fire. I also don't remember from past movies that just lighting a vampire on fire kills them.
Well, I think that they need to.
I think you have to remove the head and
first?
Light them on fire.
Oh, okay.
I think to do both.
I would like to see someone, please, if you're out there and you had this Get Made fan, take Protect Your Neck, the Wu-Tang song, and then mash it up with the vampires getting their heads ripped off.
That's pretty good.
That's why I understand it now.
But when you think, I've seen, nine decapitations, is this next one, is there going to be another one?
Yeah.
Then that one girl grabs the grabs the dude by inside his mouth tears off the top part of his face.
Yes.
It's great.
It's so violent.
There is.
So violent.
But that guy's a monster, so you can do that to him.
So basically,
that's why zombie movies, zombies can be
that's
violent.
True. Yeah.
If you want to check in on plot. So basically, they have this immortal baby. The bad guys are coming from them, and Bella and Edward are basically.
Because they want to kill the baby.
Exactly.
And the bad guys are going to come. It's been determined by, I don't know why, when the snow is sticky is when they say they're going
to
come.
Why
would that be when they come?
Everybody seems to know exactly what day that is.
Why
because Pattinson and Arrow, the good guy and the bad guy, are both sort of you know, mentalists, so they both kind of know what the other person's move is going to be.
But is that
again, another chess reference.
But yes. Is that true? Is Arpat's like, what is
he
his
says
power?
At one point, he says, you know, they're going to probably try to take me out first, or he says something about how
they're
going to know that I'm going to know what they're going to do.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to have to take me out first.
But here's
like that.
The big issue that I have. Michael Shannon, super powerful, super,
Sheen.
Michael, he's super powerful.
Ooh, I would
powerful.
Have loved it if it was Michael
Shannon. He would be great. Can't wait for him.
Sheen's pretty good.
Michael Sheen is great in this.
He's better than most Bond villains in this.
He's really good, and he has like it's the perfect mix of like Darth Vader. You know, there's a total Darth Vader element, and then like, but like real that beat where they bring the daughter to him and he giggles.
Yeah.
I can hear her strange heart beating. I was like, ooh, that's creepy.
So I felt like he was like, I'm going to just do this, and no one told me to do that, and they kept it. I was so psyched.
I thought
that
was a great moment.
And then also when he was doing fast running, I like that too. Yeah. I like a fast Michael, whatever. Michael
I thought he could have been a better fast runner in Midnight in Paris. I would have liked it.
I liked when the one guy went said, you know, vampires. The werewolf said, "Vampires werewolves. Werewolves are our mortal enemy."
Yeah.
And then Michael Sheen, our arrow, looks at him and kind of does like the you know thing with his finger and his thumb, where it's just like just a little less of that. Yeah. Like that's you know
take it down a notch.
But it's almost like he's saying, "This isn't Underworld. this is the Twilight movie.
This isn't Rise of the Lycans."
Those movies, they can't stop and talk to each other about their problems, but here we're going to settle it with words.
This is also a very bad werewolf vampire franchise, but it's not Underworld.
Guys, relax. We got it under control. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. It's the holiday season, and what better way to start the holidays than starting your own website? Our friends at Squarespace have a great product. Squarespace is a do-it-yourself website builder that allows you to make a website or blog in just a few minutes. Squarespace gives you a free domain name, handles the hosting, and gives you 24-hour customer support. Everything on the platform is drag and drop, so it's incredibly easy to use. For example, you can drag pictures straight from your desktop and create custom layouts with multiple columns and text that wrap perfectly around your images and videos. The templates are beautiful and super clean. They let your content do all the talking. Additionally, you can switch to a different template at any time. And there's one more thing that's so special about Squarespace. It's that the website that you create will scale automatically to fit perfectly on an iPad, iPhone, computer, or pretty much any other device. So pull content from your blogs, push the content back out to your social networks, go to squarespace.com/cage, start a free trial, no credit card required, and if and then you decide to purchase, you can get an offer code, you put the offer code in, B-O-M-B, that's bomb, you get a 10% discount. That's right. So we're giving back for the holiday season. That's squarespace.com/cage, offer code bomb, use it for 10% off anything that you buy. Squarespace, everything you need to build exceptional websites. Now, I talked about the holidays, and if you're like me, you travel during the holidays, and it is boring, and you need something to occupy you, even just to escape your family for a little bit of time, and that's why I'm recommending that you download an Audible audiobook. That's right. Audible audiobooks are amazing. Jason and I were just talking about how amazing the Harry Potter Audible audiobooks are. Jim Dale reads all the parts. It's really, really fun, but say, for example, you want to hear about Twilight, want to hear somebody read that. You can get one of those at Audible Audiobooks. You go to audible.com, you get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial by visiting audiblepodcast.com/how. We're giving you a free book for the holiday. The audiobooks can be played on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, Fire, Windows Phone, and over 500 MP3 players. So just go to audiblepodcast.com/how, get a free audiobook on us. That's how nice we are for the holidays. All right, so
what was that commercial for? Mountain Dew?
Yes. Oh, Mountain Dew.
I hope it was for Mountain Dew.
The show. I was going to say with Michael Shannon, Michael Sheen, why didn't he just come right away? The minute he found out about it, he could just run across the country and just... done
it. Yeah, no, we'll do it when the snow is sticky.
Because he had to give them time
to
go all over the world and assemble the United Colors of Benetton witnesses slash warriors.
By the way, some of these people are like Hunger Game rejects, too.
Yes, yes.
Like, I felt like they're like, oh, yeah, we got to have the kids who look like Jennifer Lawrence from the Hunger Games. Get them in there.
Yeah, we got to have two, and it's like two people from every country.
Yes.
Two people from every color, except for Asians. No Asians.
No Asian vampire.
Except for that one guy who can kill him quick.
Yeah.
Get rid of that Asian guy because we don't want Asians in our collective of warriors. Only whites.
Why don't they know that the Asians are probably really good with swords and stuff?
And wire work. Because there's a lot of flying around.
It was crazy.
In the fight scene.
Oh my God. And the Russian dudes blew my mind. I was like,
those guys, I wrote down at one point, Vladimir and Stefan, yes. !! Because I was so excited about them.
I love them.
And even at the end of the movie, when it's a happy ending, they're just kind of like, no, you guys, we still got to fucking fight these people someday. And then they just run off into the woods.
But they also say, like, we've got to fight these people. And their voices are insane.
Yeah, it's very funny every time they talk.
They are my favorite characters.
They are sketch characters. Like, I felt like those characters were being played by Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig. Like, they might as well have been, like SNL characters.
They were, I wrote down, I want to talk about the, Bunk, he's like getting her passport so they can like leave the country. Again, don't really understand why they need those.
Yeah, just fly out of the country, you crazy flying vampire.
I don't understand why a baby needs a passport either. I don't know if that's a real thing.
Yeah, no, babies need a passport.
There was a great thing. Did you see that Jacob's fake name?
No.
Was Jacob Wolf.
No.
Yes.
No way.
On his new passport?
Yeah, his new thing was Jacob Wolf. I feel like that was a prop master just going, Jacob Wolf.
What are you talking about? That is
Jacob
crazy.
Wolf was my favorite. I was so excited to see that.
And Renesmee, crazy.
Hybrid baby.
Crazy CGI baby.
She's CGI for
hour plus is a CGI child.
And like even when she's playing the piano, it's like, when are they gonna like just why didn't they just all right.
Why? I mean, everybody, the movie is like Peter Facinelli, what's his name?
Yeah,
Peter Facinelli, whatever his name is.
He's the head of the Cullen Clan.
Carlisle Cullen, who's like the dad of the Cullen Clan. He looks terrible.
No, yeah, this
his
blonde.
Hair is insane.
Why did these vampires...
Why do they make him blonde?
Every vampire decides to bleach their hair.
He is a handsome man.
Even in the Game of Thrones style era,
yeah,
they
the
all
girls
have
are all blonde. Yeah.
I don't understand. He is a handsome man. Why does he need to have fake blonde hair and like...
Maybe he'd be too much handsome.
I don't know. I couldn't figure that out.
Because
that's the thing. I remember I read Twilight Book 1.
Yeah.
And that was the thing about the Cullens is that they were so beautiful. They were all like so beautiful.
Yeah, I think they're going for like a on him, like a kind of like Flash Gordon kind of
look. It doesn't look good on his skin.
It looks terrible.
His skin's pale too.
That's the thing. Is
pale
they give them,
skin and blonde hair.
They give
is
them
not
fake
sexy.
Blonde hair and fake pale skin, and they look like they look pasty and terrible.
I like what they said about the little girl that she, you know, they're speculating that she can't be immortal because she has blood and she has rosy cheeks. And then the one vampire screams, "Artifice!" I've never heard the word artifice spoken in anger before. It was awesome.
Yeah.
When Alice and that guy that she hangs out with, when they show
Julian?
When they show up at the final battle.
Yeah.
And by final battle, we should say that it happens halfway through the movie and is the rest of the movie,
except for
the montage at the end.
Which is great.
And it's really cool.
It's a really solid battle. And that's the thing is like, so basically what happens is just to get there, Volturis are coming. They're going to kill Renesmee. The Cullens assemble warriors
18
from
18 people.
Yeah, 18 vampires.
A ragtag gang
from all over the world.
The John Varvatos vampire is my favorite. That's a New Orleans vampire. Who's that guy?
Lee Pace. Oh, Lee Pace is
my
great.
My favorite.
I loved Alistair, what's his name, who's scruffy and has great clothes.
Yes.
Weird. They suddenly have all these great characters in the fifth movie.
Yes.
They
why wait? Why did wait? And why that last movie? Why was it so intimate and boring? boring. They could have gotten to some of this shit in that movie.
This is that movie. By the way, this is the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Remember, this is...
I know, it's a two-parter, yeah.
But they could have just made that movie...
That could have been so short, yeah.
The first half hour of this movie could have been the whole first...
Oh, we didn't need...
Any of that.
So the last movie was so fucking stupid because it was stalling for this.
Yeah.
So
Harry Potter, it worked here, it did not.
So it becomes a... Oh, my God, I loved... Okay, let's not get into that. So, oh my God, but that's the one point I wanted to make was that Michael Sheen's left-hand man is totally Draco Malfoy.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like, every bad guy needs a henchman who is, like, bleached blonde and, like,
he's the one
Weasley.
That yells artifice.
Yeah, he's the one that yells artifice. Yeah. Anyway, so the whole movie is the lead-up to this battle where the Cullens have their 18 vampires and all of the werewolves.
Yes.
And they're going to fight on this chessboard, on this expanse of snow. They're going to fight the Volturis who have come. And for the first 10 minutes, it is just talking.
It's a lot of talking, and it's a lot of, hey, look, you think that she's this, let's communicate. Yep. There's a lot of, like, this stuff should have been settled over the phone.
Yeah.
But by the way, this
And there's
is
a lot of wordless communication. There's a lot of communicating done by between people by just touching each other.
Yes. Oh, by the way, that's what I wanted to say about the girl. The girl, Renesmee, Nessie or whatever her name is, she...
Oh, you gave my daughter a nickname?
No, it's worse. It's worse. You gave my daughter a nickname for the Loch Ness Monster?
Oh,
is what she immediately says the first time he says Nessa. That's what you jumped to when you gave her the fucked up Renesmee name to begin with.
Yeah.
Nessie is a little bit nicer. I like Nessie.
But you named him after the Loch Ness Monster. She screams at him.
You know what's weird is that the Cullen's mother is named Esme.
Yeah, so that's why it's in there, I think.
So it's is this another?
I don't know. There's like another character named Renee.
Is this like Renesmee? Like as
Renesmee?
Like Esme again?
Renesmee.
I was trying to figure that out. I was like, this is confounding.
I think it's just they named it.
Well, they keep on saying about
sort of after her.
Well, they keep on saying with Renesmee, they're like, this is how she communicates, by touching someone in the face, and they see the images in her head.
They see that she's not... what they see is they all go... She always... To prove she's not an immortal.
Yes.
So, like, what is she showing them that proves she's not an immortal?
What I was going to say is, what is she doing when she touches their faces?
Yeah. And also...
Why don't we ever understand?
And why does she ever say, talk to the hand?
When Alice has a vision, we go in and we see Alice's vision.
She don't see what Renesmee... Only once.
We did when?
When she touched Bella's face for the first time.
Oh, I missed that.
And she sees the first memory of Bella giving birth to her.
Oh,
but meanwhile, they go, this is how she communicates.
Oh, that must be what she shows. Well, no, that still doesn't prove whether she's immortal or not.
No, yeah. Well, to me, I feel like she also can speak. She talks a lot throughout the movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's not the way
she
communicates.
She's a real fucking chatterbox.
Yeah.
She's just showing people stuff.
All right, so they get the one other thing.
Like Zafrina takes Edward to Pandora at one point.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh my God.
The Avatar world. I love that the Volturi, they come out in March, and all I want to talk about is that they are in such a long line. I just wonder how long they were in that line. Like, okay, so we're going to get to this field, guys. We need to look impressive. So really spread out. Really? Yeah. Like, they did not come in a tight group. They are so spread out. I would say, like, they're like three city blocks long.
It looks like there's four times as many of them when they're approaching and when they're talking. But then when the fighting starts, it's kind of a one-on-one battle.
Yeah, it's not too
hard. Like, there's never two people ganging up on one person for the most part.
Maybe one of their...
Except for the good guys. The good guys are better at teaming up and making shit happen.
Yeah.
Because, like, Kristen Stewart develops this...
Shield power,
where she's like, so she's individually shielding people instead of, she's the strongest person there. Yeah. She should be fighting instead of standing there staring at someone else, trying to keep them.
Intently staring at them so that she can protect them from, it's so stupid.
Learn to do them both at the same time.
By the way, here's the other thing is like, they set up all of these characters having superpowers that are pretty interesting, which never get used.
No.
Like Black Smoke guy never uses Black Smoke fight.
He starts to use the black smoke
and Michael Sheen's like, No,
I don't even really know what that black smoke does.
Electricity girl
to
never
anyway.
Zaps somebody.
It blinds them and disorients. They're like, blinded and they can't move or something.
They introduced
like
all
Dakota
of these people
Fanning
with great
Fanning.
Yes, I liked that. Oh, which one was it? I think
Elle
it was Dakota.
Oh, it was Dakota.
Oh, Dakota.
Yeah.
She's like, pain.
Yeah, and that person experiences pain.
Oh.
Yeah, I liked that too. But
I thought she said Bane.
Bane.
And then Robert Pattinson falls down.
Yeah.
Gotham will fall. You, I must fight the vampire.
Oh, I was going to say, when Alice and what's-his-name show up to that battle scene,
yes,
when they're all standing around, when they show up, it takes them like 30 seconds to walk across the snow. We watch them walk so far. Why are they
can walk
that
fast?
Same character in a scene in the beginning of the movie goes, voom, to get to her from across the living room.
Yeah.
But when they're that far away, oh, let's walk it. Let's walk. Keep it dramatic. This is like the Academy Awards. We're coming out to make a presentation.
Let's make a real entrance.
By the way, I this is where I got really fed up with the movie, because I was like, are you kidding me? I feel like every movie I see, it's like, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle. And there's no battle.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this what's going to happen? There's not going to be a battle. They walk across a thing. They convince the main bad guy. They go, hey, guess what? You were wrong. And he's like, okay, yeah, I was wrong. And then, watch out. The battle that you've been waiting for explodes, and it starts with one of the best.
And it's better than any of the, like, because in the previous Twilight movies, when things start to seem to get action-y, they were always just like wolves running around and jumping.
Poorly shot.
And nobody's actually getting killed.
No.
And in this movie, suddenly, all of these characters are getting their heads torn off.
The first moment is, you know, Michael Sheen and Peter Facinelli running at each other. They jump in the air, and then fucking Michael Sheen just rips his head off midstream.
Yeah. Oh, no, Michael, no, Michael
They start
Sheen.
By walking slowly at each other, though. Yeah, and then they suddenly both decide to speed up.
Yeah, Michael Sheen lands, raises up, and he's holding Peter Facinelli's head.
And you're like, whoa!
That was when I was
okay,
like,
okay, so
oh,
now we're into
shit.
Some heavy spoiler
so
shit.
So now
let's
spoil it
he's
up.
He's the first one to go.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably because he looks so weird with that blonde hair.
Yes, I think and his wife is distraught.
Yes. Well, everyone's distraught because their leader has just been killed. So now it's like, all right.
The gloves are off.
But what we should say before that happens.
Yes.
Because we're just going to give everything away, right?
Yeah,
we're going to give away.
Nothing
before that happens, that Alice does the long walk up with the other guy, with Schmengi.
Yeah.
And then they get there. Julian. Close. And then she says she's got the ability to, like, she can, you know,
she can
see the future and show people the future by holding their hand.
Well, Michael Sheen's power to hold hands and see what's in
to
their brain.
To see what the future is in their brain.
She had
see
seen
what's
something.
In her mind. In her mind, it happens to be the future.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So she goes up to him and she's like, let me prove to you that we do not need to fight today, that everything's going to be cool, that this girl is not going to grow up and be a problem. You know, and then she takes his hand.
Holds his hand.
And then they continue to talk for a little bit. And then she, like, steps away from him. And she turns and looks at everybody and says, now. Like, she's, like, you know, decided that this will be a great moment to just everybody suddenly pounce.
Well, she says to him, it doesn't care what you see. You're not going to change your mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not going to change your mind anyway. Which is a badass
then
move.
She turns around and says, now.
She kind of whisper mouth now even though they're all standing really far away.
The other thing is, people whisper to each other from hundreds of yards away.
Well,
yeah, they even have conversations way across that
field. So far from
field.
Each other. Anyway, so then she does that. She says, now. And then she totally badass kicks Michael Sheen in the face.
Oh, yes.
And he goes, I thought this was awesome.
It's really cool.
Amazing.
It's really cool. And it sets off this amazing battle sequence where pretty much almost all the major characters, except for Bella and Edward and Jacob the wolf, by the way, as soon as they start the fight, or they're about to, runs off with Renesmee on his back. So he runs off.
Because that's the plan.
I don't understand that this is when the big battle sequence, like when wolves are dying and stuff, I'm like, I don't know who that is. Like, I have no connection.
Yeah, I don't know which one that's supposed to be.
I
think he just sort of recruited a bunch of kids that we don't know.
No, he did,
but
there was also Leah and Seth and, like, his friend wolves were there.
I was even laughing because thinking about how what's his name? The actor that plays Jacob.
Taylor
Lautner.
By the way, has gotten better.
The character's annoying.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily his fault, but he's always smiling and those super white teeth.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing here? And
an Abercrombie model.
Like, when he shows up, when he hangs out with Renesmee at the dad's house, Charlie's not like, why? We don't need the fucking wolfman hanging around.
No, this is the bane of their existence. Bella and Edward are in love. They have a child, and they ought to be followed by this fucking dummy.
Edward's
alive.
Always just kind of shaking his head
Jacob. The presumption is that when Renesmee is of age, she will be his.
Well, is that the thing? Because I mean, at the end,
that seems to be what's happening at the end.
So, because he says to Jacob, he goes, "Can I call you dad?"
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
But basically, and then Alice's premonition is that she, as Renesmee is all grown up, and like she and Jacob and Bella and Edward are a foursome.
Yeah.
Like are a quartet. And I was like,
by the way,
Jacob is blasting this little girl.
And by the way, Jacob doesn't age. Like, Jacob in that flash forward is not older, so does Wolf not age? I don't know.
Well, it's not that long of a flash forward.
Yeah, because
she grew up to
so
as big as she's going to be
In 7 years.
Within a couple years.
Yeah. Said by age 7.
Like, in the end credits, it says 7-year-old Renesmee, and it's played by some... And that's some girl. They didn't go crazy with the CGI on
that's an adult girl.
But she did look like the act, like an old, creepily like an older version of her.
Wait, that wasn't a CGI head? I thought that was a CGI head.
I don't think so. Some actress gets credit.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a CGI head.
But it could be some actress... It was just standing there, and they put a CGI face on her. But, anyway, it's a very impressive fight scene. Almost nothing really to make fun of
in
the fight itself. It's really well done.
I mean, like we said, head rips galore. I mean, you think you're going to get tired of it, you don't get tired of it. There's a chasm, people are falling into the chasm.
And it perfectly, it really is a chess scene.
Yeah.
Because the pawns go first.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously a big sacrifice with Carlisle Cullen, but then the people that start getting killed are, like, pawns, are, like, lesser
people.
There's
a point where Michael Sheen's just standing with his main henchmen just watching everything happen.
Yeah.
Like, not even participating.
Exactly.
Like, why wouldn't Edward or Bella run at that guy? Let's kill that guy first.
That was kind of the issue. It just seemed like, come on, guys.
But see, I liked it. I liked that you had lots of little battles with not that interesting people that were still cool.
And just
then real people started getting killed.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Dakota Fanning gets it pretty bad.
Dakota Fanning, I think, is my favorite character. She just is so fucking evil in this movie.
Oh, totally.
She says like two words, too. And I like Dakota Fanning.
I thought
Fanning
she was good.
But then it's weird this movie series came into its own now.
Yeah.
it's a little late.
In the last 30 minutes, it's like, yes.
I loved the guy, because you also think like these guys have been alive for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
I loved the one guy that they come and they kill the one guy who's like the older vampire.
Yeah.
And he says something like, at last. Like
he wants to die. Take me apart.
He wants to die so bad and he just can't be killed.
Yeah.
So they kill him and he just says, at last. And then die. I was like, that's great.
He wanted to die because he had a real Michael Bolton thing going on. And people teased him all the time.
What happened to those other, the vampires we like, the weird ethnic ones, where they're like, they just kind of went catatonic in their castle for a long time? Is that what they said? They go,
who?
The two, you know, the frickin' frack of the vampires. What were their names?
Vladimir and Stefan?
Vladimir and Stefan. Those two were like, we just hung out in our castles in a catatonic state until they burnt our castles down. Like that.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. And they sat very still.
That's
and they said they probably did us a favor. Yeah, they were prisoners in their castles, and then their castles were set on fire.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, they probably did us a favor because that's what motivated us to come now and try to kill them.
Yeah.
They go, we're going to return the favor. And it's like, well, that's not returning. It wasn't a favor, and why would you return it?
So stupid.
So
they should have said something about paying it forward.
The fight scene is amazing, and I'm laughing, I'm psyched, everything is going great.
The beach at Normandy in the beginning of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
It is fucking intense.
I love it.
It's really entertaining. And then
guess what?
It's so great and such a burn at the same time. I was elated and fucking angry.
I was furious
simultaneously. But it was pretty cool the way it tricked you.
Yes. At the point where literally everybody is dead and Michael Sheen is killed.
They rip off his head, they burn him alive. That's
Bella
the
and Edward kill him.
The last shot of the battle is a close-up of his face, seeing in his eyes we can see the torch coming to burn his decapitated head.
It's great.
Because it's like a chicken, probably. You're probably alive for a few seconds after you get your head torn off.
And then it pulls out really quick and we are revealed to be... Go ahead.
That it is all just in that moment where they held hands. Where was her name?
Alice
and Michael Sheen were holding hands.
She's still holding his hand.
So she
showed him what would have happened if he decided to have the fight.
The entire battle is her premonition of what would happen.
Exactly.
Didn't really happen.
And everyone's alive.
Who shot JR?
She's got an amazing premonition to show the guy every different possible angle of the fight.
Oh, yeah.
And every person that got killed. Like, why not just show him, you're going to get your head ripped off if you do this right now.
I will say that as much as it is like a crazy twist, that I kind of liked it in the sense it's like, it's what you want. It's like, you get to see everyone in the movie get killed.
Yeah.
And everybody do
I was
violent.
Pretty happy and that then, they were all getting killed.
I was
like, this is some heavy fucking
I
shit.
I was blown
like,
away.
Like, I was kind of bummed that they're now, oh, now they're not really
exactly.
dead.
Exactly.
Except for the one girl that they kill before the fighting begins.
Maggie Grace. Yes.
Maggie Grace. Is she ever going to be in anything where she isn't killed or kidnapped
oh,
or
yeah.
attempted?
Maggie Grace cannot catch a break.
Maggie Grace fucked up. She fucked up because she just saw something on a cliff
yeah.
and she deserved the death.
Wait, did she jump in the ocean?
Yeah. And she swam back.
Yeah, why? She can
why
also,
she
can also
ocean?
Fly away. Like,
to me, though, this is the most flawed thing
she's
about
she's wearing
the
great clothes. Why not just run home?
The most flawed thing about this movie is simply that Maggie Grace sees Renesmee catch like a piece of snow, a snowflake.
Yeah, she flies up into the air and gets a snowflake.
Exactly. And she makes the assumption, without any knowledge whatsoever, that this is an immortal child or what, a bad
yep.
kid, and then runs back, tells Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen's like, okay, let's go kill him.
Yeah.
She doesn't even tell him. She just shows up and he like touches her hand and goes, yeah. oh, okay, we gotta go take care of this.
Now, meanwhile, all of this could have been averted if she just hung around and said, hey, is that an
if
immortal
anybody
kid?
Anybody in this movie would just have a
they
conversation.
They even yell to her. They're yeah. like, Irina! Hey!
Yeah, they're, come on!
Let us explain!
Oh, who is
oh,
that?
Oh, I gotta jump
who is
into
that?
The water.
I think it's our cousin Irina.
Yeah, they have this super eyesight, but they're standing there going, who could that be?
By the way, I mean, being a vampire, you get to experience it firsthand when Bella's first turn in the beginning. You miss this, Jason. It just seems kind of annoying. Everything just zooms in, like, really intense. Like, you look at a bed, and it's like, boom, 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 and you see, like, the thread
oh,
count.
God.
You look at the floor, boom, 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 and you see, like, every, like, it's like, I don't want that. That seems a little bit too much.
No,
yeah,
thank
that's
you.
How she could find when the clue was in the book. That's
yes.
how she found that particular book so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, there's books everywhere in this house.
How is she going to
like,
find
I couldn't
that
believe
book?
How many books there were. At first, I was thinking, why would they need so many books? And I thought, oh, they are immortal, so that's probably a good hobby to read.
We didn't really
to read
get
everything.
Into the book, but the book is whatever.
Oh, there's a, yeah, Alice leaves a clue and a
who
book,
cares?
And it's.
Yeah, who cares? It's not important.
It's kind of a cute little.
But it's all a flash,
twist.
A flash forward. Everyone leaves alive, and everyone yeah. goes off to have a very happy life.
I wanted to tell the listeners that because if anyone's thinking, because we're talking about how great the battle sequence is, if anyone started thinking, oh, wow, they really did it. I'm going to go see a good Twilight movie.
Yeah.
No, you're going to still see the same crazy stuff for the most part that you've avoided through the last four.
Yeah.
And this one, you may be just livid when you find out that all these characters are not didn't actually die.
But I got to say, you
that
leave.
They were dying.
I loved it, too. I was like,
were,
I was like, this is badass. That
they are killing
really
everybody.
Fucking killing all these
but
people.
But don't you like, I felt like I left the theater more psyched. When I went home, I was like, yeah, that
and
was
and how
good.
Long do you think they pull off that in the last book?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Do you think it's page after
oh,
page
yeah.
after
yeah.
page of all these people getting killed in this amazing battle, and then, and turns out she was still holding ends with Arrow.
I feel like that would be, in a book form, it would be more of a fuck you, because I feel like there's more
oh
time.
Oh my god,
like,
yes.
Whereas this, like, because you, I mean, I felt it when Peter Facinelli got his head ripped off, I was like, oh no, not him.
Oh yeah.
Wait, when did you cry?
Oh
yeah,
I cried. I cried in the battle sequence when somebody died, or somebody was watching somebody die, and I got like choked up for a second. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, Alice was watching.
Alice watches Julian die.
Yeah,
right. But no, then she's trying to go after. Oh fuck, what was it? It was when people were falling into the crevice that. Ethnic guy creates when
the
he punches
that,
the earth.
The guy yeah. that can
control the elements.
The elements yeah.
Control the elements. And people were falling into that thing, and I got like choked up when who fell in and somebody was watching. Somebody was watching
oh,
somebody
oh,
they
oh.
love.
When the wolf was falling backwards and was going, oh,
I did.
Yeah. It was like howling. Oh,
that was
I'm
sad.
Dying.
I got sad. Oh,
it
yeah.
would make it but 10 times better if we knew who that wolf was. I don't
yeah.
know. I just,
which
I,
wolf was it?
I don't know who the wolf was, but that is when I got like emotional. Was during that sequence of the fight.
Yeah,
when people
it was
were falling
like,
into the thing, and people were watching the people they loved die.
Oh. Yeah,
you know, it was
yeah,
her watching Julian die, and then somebody else watching someone else they loved die. I was like, whoa, I got bummed.
I did like that. I guess, yeah, look, life,
but
real
for,
fragile, real fragile.
It's super fragile.
I did like that.
Totes fragile, guys.
I did like,
totes
I mean,
fragile.
And when I alluded to it earlier, it was Michael Sheen's head that was really hard to rip off. I mean,
oh, yeah.
They really struggled with that head. That was a
yeah, yeah,
wrench,
yeah. We're
going to
get this
wrencher.
Thing. Is it righty-tighty, lefty-loosey?
For people that are thinking that still haven't seen it, listen to all of this and are still thinking about going, just to let you know how easy it'll go down. The opening titles are 3 minutes long and the ending titles are 15 minutes long.
Yes, it's
a you get up and leave as soon as the end titles start, although you'll miss a funny thing. They go back and show Anna Kendrick from and she's telling the guy staying next to her he's got something on his lip.
Yeah.
It like doesn't fit. It's like such a comedic little
that?
Grace note in the middle of this very serious in memoriam montage.
Telenovela.
Yeah, and it's so the total credits on the movie, 18 minutes of the movie is devoted to credits.
Wow.
And the movie is less than 2 hours long.
Yes.
By a few minutes.
So you're basically watching... I mean, you're really just watching about an hour.
You just
and 40
have to watch
movie.
Some silly setup that's got some interesting moments.
Come late like Jason did, and
by the way, he missed a good part though.
I did miss the
you
almost eating
the power
the
hug
and the power hug
and almost eating a hiker.
It is worth it.
And when she pounces on a cougar, starts to. I was going to say this. I love that. I love that they
like
got,
a sexy older lady.
I love
lady?
That they got PETA off their back because she's looking at a deer and thinking about eating that because she's got her bloodthirst. And then a cougar comes out of nowhere and is about to. Get the deer.
Is it Samantha from Sex and the City?
She saves the deer by pouncing on and eating the cougar.
Oh yeah!
But it's pretty sweet seeing cute Kristen Stewart just dive on a cougar and start macking on its neck. It's going. Arr! It's like clearly
in like a tight balloon dress. Like
she even kind of does like a take. Like she's for a second. She's like, "Is this? Can I really do this? Okay."
Cool. I've never really found Kristen Stewart to be like super sexy. I found this movie, she really like stepped it up a notch. They kind of like really like.
Well, the thing is,
she's always been cute, but
she's
also 18, is maybe why you don't.
Yeah, we've also talked about this in the past of like Bella in the previous movies has been absolutely powerless to the men in her life.
Yeah,
like they dominate her, and in this movie,
this is her Snow White and the Huntsman.
It really is, and you know what's so creepy about it is that it is like the story is basically once you get married. And give yourself to a man sexually, and he turns you into a vampire, then you can be a strong woman.
Yeah.
Before that, no. Do whatever the men are telling you to do. But once you get married, you are a strong woman.
Stronger than all the men.
Yeah, stronger than all the men.
She's physically stronger than all the men.
She beats Kellan Lutz.
She's mentally stronger. She's like... Like,
superpowers,
she always knows what to do and why to do it.
When she does do that arm wrestling thing, which is such a funny, like, over-the-top, weird moment.
Literally
over the top. Then I just love that she's like you said this, Doug, she starts beating up that rock, like, blah, 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 and she's like, it starts jackhammering a rock.
Yeah.
And, like, you're never like, like, so weird.
She's very, very excited about her powers in this. And, of course, you don't have to sit through the credits, because since there's no more movies, theoretically, I think there will be more movies. When they're saying that it's definitely over. Even if what's her name doesn't want to write them, Stephenie Meyer, still make. There's so many characters in that movie that would be a great movie.
I bet
to
they
follow.
Make, I bet Lee Pace is an interesting. I bet they do a TV series.
Something. So
that they don't have to have Kristen Stewart or.
But if they did another movie, it could be Renesmee, who's a hot young girl.
Yes. Tell me more.
You know, hire some actress to play her.
Yeah.
And she's got this whole. She's conflicted. She's kind of like Blade or something.
She's like Blade. But she's got like a full C cup.
Yeah,
so great.
But there's no there was two wacky scenes at the end of the last one that you had to sit through the credits to see. But in this case, just get up and leave after you see Anna Kendrick is what I think, or stay until you see Kristen Stewart. It's like watching the bows at the end of a
really
long play.
It was kind of fun
it
to
really
watch everybody
is, like,
get
out.
I wish the audience would have clapped for the ones they liked. The crowd we saw it with was kind of stiff
dead.
On that, but they should have done. At the very end, just a scene of not what's his name,
not
Tom Skerritt on a boat catching a trout.
That would have been amazing.
And what if
like
catching
a trout? Go, we're having so much fun. I wonder what they're doing right now. Or something.
It would even be better if he catches a trout and then Michael Sheen just flies in and rips off his head and then flies out.
That would have been awesome.
That would have
too.
Been a great twist. Maybe that's a spinoff.
I did think
Billy
there was going to be a
Billy Burke and his Native American wife on fishing trips.
That's it. The woman knows her trout. He says.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the movie.
Jacob made Renesmee a friendship bracelet, too. I thought that was really beautiful and sweet.
So that's the thing. At the end of the movie, everybody's okay, and Alice has a vision we see Alice's vision of the future, and it's Edward and Bella who are going to be together forever, they say. Yeah. And then it's a grown Renesmee and Jacob. And the presumption is that he is just stone cold bone zoning this little girl. Yeah.
I don't know if that's there, but I appreciate it.
They're just hanging out.
No.
Because he said, "Can I call you dad?"
Yeah.
And then Jacob goes, "No." Because he's like, he's going to eventually be married to him. That's why I think it was so creepy when he imprinted on the kid.
Now, isn't that like a weird... Now, listen, this is going to be... I might say something very inflammatory right now. Is this like a weird Mormon, like you're given a child bride, kind of like you are betrothed to someone? Is this like a Mormon thing that is being appropriated for this mythology? Is this truly just craziness?
I think it was in a way to keep these people together.
He could still be just watching over her. He has to watch over her for the rest of his life.
Why would you call Jacob dad?
Just because he's making a stupid joke. You know, like we're all a family now. You know what I mean? Like you guys are the parents, sort of.
Guys, hit up the Earwolf forums and let us know.
Let us know what you think about this. So, yeah. I'm sure people are going to write really long
I feel like Twilight people must know.
I'm kind of getting weird about maybe wanting to read the books. Because that was also an interesting...
The books are terrible.
I bet they are, but that was an interesting... But they're probably simple and easy for someone like
me to read.
They're
so easy to read.
But I think that...
I read the first two.
I like the way they worked in pages of the book at the end.
Yeah,
and,
I did like
and little passages, and especially like the very last line from the books appears on the screen.
I like that,
like,
too.
You know the little girls or anyone, grown women, who love those books.
It was like forever.
It's such a...
Oh, everybody fucking creamed their jeans.
A good ending.
Yeah,
like I was the same way about Dark Knight Rises, you know? I didn't love it all the way through, but I found that ending very, emotionally
very
satisfying.
Wait. The Michael Caine in the restaurant ending?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it's ridiculous.
Oh, see, I didn't like that very much.
Really?
You know what I wished? I just wished we had stayed on Michael Caine smiling and not reversed and seen that
then
they
you'd
were
know.
There.
Because seeing them doing that, why would those two characters just sit around at a cafe?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're not an old fucking man who's glad to not be a butler for a...
Exactly.
A lot of people say that was his vision. It was not a real moment.
What do you mean?
Yeah, people argue that's just what he was kind of imagining he was seeing. Like,
that Batman is really dead.
What? No, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. That goes against everything.
By the way,
spoiler
alert on Batman The Dark Knight Rises.
That's crazy.
I think we're late enough on that one. Yes. No one should be mad at us.
I will say this. If you want to read books, read the Hunger Games books, because those books
they get so bad.
Are great.
They're so bad after
Book three is not great, but it is still...
Book three is awful.
All three books of Hunger Games are a billion times better than the Twilight
books.
Okay,
well, that's a...
That might be true, but the Hunger Games movies can only get better from the first one.
Agreed.
The first one didn't really
get it done, I didn't think. The plots get wonky. They get really wonky.
I feel the guy they got to do the first one wasn't the man.
The director of this, Bill Condon or whatever, did a great job. That fight scene was one of the best. Because again, they cheap out on action.
It was cool, but they do a lot. It's a weird movie. I mean, he did direct the fact that there were all these weird scenes with the weird melodramatic music in the background.
So much CGI.
Yeah.
They
didn't go outside to shoot this movie at
all. There's so many moments in this movie that you're just sort of like, there doesn't even need to be CGI.
No!
Watch that be real footage. Watch that be real. And
I love stuff like when the group of vampires that are coming to visit and they're all happy, they all come flying down they come shooting in from the woods really fast, and then they go to regular speed and then walk like the last, you know.
Yeah,
why are they super speeding all the way to their destination? Like, why do they do that? It's weird.
I also thought that you were talking about incorporating the book. They do incorporate the book, and sometimes poorly. Like, they just take, like, obviously a passage from the book where Bella's talking about what she's thinking and stuff, and they just kind of drop it in as, like...
Oh, VO?
VO.
Yeah.
But it's not like VO that you're used to in a movie. It's like...
Yeah, because it doesn't start at the beginning.
Yeah.
No, it's just like a random
middle.
Pop in nowhere.
Somebody
like,
said, we got to explain what's going on right here.
This is confusing. We had friends come from all over to help
like, wait
us.
A second. When there's VO in the middle... It really is just one moment in the movie there's a VO for no reason.
No, there's two. There's two. Oh. And I noticed that there's two moments of VO that are like, and by the way, you didn't need them.
You didn't need them at all.
She's explaining stuff we just saw happen.
Yeah.
The best line of them all might have been when she says to Jacob, "You think you have some sort of moronic wolfy claim on her?"
She was so angry at Jacob.
Because he's annoying. Like, but she should have been angry at him in every other movie. Like, go away. Yeah. Like, I'm with this other guy.
The thing that's weird is that Jacob now isn't interested in Bella at all because he only wants to bone zone the baby.
He's just watching out for her.
He's like, I can't wait to get into that sweet, sweet seven-year-old me. It's terrible.
I don't care about you anymore, Bella. I'm only interested in baby puss.
Now we understand why Bella was attracted to him in the last movie because it was... Yeah, Renesmee kind of
like there was a moment
junk stimulated.
Yeah, there was a moment where she was treating him like he was the father.
Well, guys, I think we did it. Sad not to have June here. I'm sure.
I feel like June needs to come in for a mini episode.
I almost
just
feel
to talk about this.
I feel like
talk
I was
about what we said about it.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that last night. I was like, I want to have her just watch it and then come in and just record. And add this as an addendum. So maybe that will.
But we all said that Bella's very strong in this one and finally does things that she should have been doing all along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that I'm very excited to. If you're in the Los Angeles area, I am definitely going to do a Benson movie interruption.
Oh, great.
Because I've seen
it
again. I'd see it again anyway.
Well,
we already did one back in the day. Because it comes, last year's came out at Thanksgiving also. So then in January, because, essentially with the big movies, we have to kind of wait for them to be hit second run theaters.
Yeah.
And then we can rent it from the studio for a reasonable price and then sit there and make fun of it. So if you're in L.A.,
Gotta check it out.
You can maybe,
one of my favorite shows in L.A.
You can maybe wait. You can maybe wait for...
that's a good call.
And see it that way.
That's not bad.
It's so good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll try to get you guys to participate.
I'll see it again. All right, that is our episode. Make sure you come see us in New York. We're at the Bell House December 6th. I'm at Largo on December 10th doing a Christmas show. I'm on Twitter, at Paul Scheer.
Yeah, no, I'm not on Twitter.
Of course. Doug Benson is at Doug Benson on Twitter. The holidays are coming up, and everyone here at Earwolf is ready to give you some amazing gifts. We have this one thing that I'm really excited about. It's called the Best of the 2012 Earwolf Gift Package. This package is a digital download which features an e-card, 6 awesome Earwolf episodes handpicked by us, our hosts of all the episodes. And basically, this is for the person in your family who's like, what's a podcast? What episode am I supposed to start with? You know what? This is a great gift for them. You can get them started. This is a podcast starter kit courtesy of Earwolf. We also have amazing stuff like hoodies, show t-shirts, our Nicolas Cage ones. Still get them. Oh, no, I guess you can't get those. You can get our Crank 2-inspired ones. We got paper people. We got everything there. Just go there. We also have a new product that I'm super excited about, a 2013 Earwolf calendar. Every show is represented. It's really cool. It looks awesome, actually. So head on over to earwolf.com, get all this stuff. Get yourself a hoodie, get yourself a podcast sampler, get yourself a calendar. You won't regret it. Earwolf.com, visit it. We will see you all soon. All right, bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
Hey folks, Paul F. Tompkins here, the host of Spontanea Nation. Just wanted to let you know that all month for Pride Month, my show Spontanea Nation features all LGBTQ improvisers and guests. That's right, everybody in the room except me, Eben, and our engineer is someone from the LGBTQ community. And this is not what should happen, but I will tell you this, for this month of Pride, Spontanea Nation has more LGBT guests than any other podcast on the network. And we're very happy to have these fantastic folks. These are some funny, funny, funny episodes with some really wonderful performers. Please do check it out. Spontanea Nation, Mondays from Earwolf.